This morning, we're going to turn to a more pleasant topic, a topic that I feel is rather exciting, and the title for our consideration this morning is Corporate Calling Par Excellence. Some time ago, I shared in a conference on the theme of church renewal, and this was sort of the foundation message for that series. And I was thinking, I'm delighted. I expected to see sort of a handful of people here. I know this is mode one at Bethany when the students are gone, and mode two coming up shortly. But it's delightful to see so many here. And I was thinking, particularly as you all look toward the fall, and we'll see that influx of students from the college, as well as our own edification. But one of the real opportunities for our students who come to a college is that opportunity of seeing a local church operating and being deeply convinced while receiving academic training of the need to be vitally involved in a local church, whatever may happen professionally after one's training is complete. In just a couple of weeks, I hope to be sharing with a group of pastors who, regarding the students who will be coming to Aurora College. And one of the things that I want to share with them is how the Lord just marked my life through the church that I fellowship with while going to the University of Illinois. So this morning, for our own edification, and as you prayerfully look forward to the Wheaton students coming this fall, let's look at the topic, corporate calling, par excellence. And we want to think, first of all, of the call of the corporation versus the call to commitment in the church. There are some tremendous benefits in being involved with a major corporation. And we could all, if we were to brainstorm for a few minutes, we could think of some of those benefits, such as a sense of belonging. It's very painful, whether you're a child 6 years old or an adult 40, not to belong to anything. And sometimes in being a part of a corporation, there's a tremendous, almost intoxicating sense when you first get into it, a belonging to this great and mighty corporation that flies its executives around the world. And there are some corporations today that have more power than whole nations, as we know. And also, there are the rewards of being part of a corporation, the remuneration of being a part of a corporation. There's the security of being a part. There's fulfillment, an opportunity to really carve out a career. There's the opportunity for status, for some achieving middle management or whatever, stability. There's the opportunity to climb within the corporate structure. There's an opportunity for many to find the base from which to launch a career, an opportunity to gain credentials, or one of the interesting possibilities in a major corporation, if you're very specialized in your field, there's an opportunity to exercise one's specialization without having to be a jack of all trades, as we are perhaps in a smaller company. But in the church, I'd like to suggest and simply remind most of us of what we already knew, of what we already know, that the church provides the ultimate corporate calling. Let's turn, first of all, for our first passage to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We, in our corporate calling, are part of God's household. It's a very beautiful idea we find in verse 19 of the household of God. Now this, the root word, oikeos, simply means belonging or standing in relationship to a household. I think my life was permanently changed while I was a chaplain in the maximum security division of the Cook County Jail and was dealing with what the suburbanites would call the scum of the inner city. And as I was with those men, related to them as just two individuals and groups and so on, I was personally impressed that the most single debilitating factor that I saw was that most of these men, 90% or more, were not part of a functioning family. And I have been amazed at the results of what happens when a person is not a part of a functioning family. And I've also been delighted to see how God is able to so beautifully make that up. And for some who have been deprived of this most basic of provisions, how the grace of God is able to make that up. But you and I, as part of the body of Christ, have the opportunity of being part of a functioning family. A family who should be loyal to us no matter what happens. Just this week, I spoke with a dear brother in Christ who has had a very, very fruitful ministry, who fell into the sin of immorality. And even at times like this, the scriptures make it very plain that we, after there has been restoration, that we are to rally behind, even in times of terrific health extremity, even in times of financial extremity. And there's some literature today that mentions that some of the corporations, almost by design, burn a man out by the time he's 40, and then throw the carcass, as it were, the burnout, out the back door. And we can never be entirely secure in the world, in the structures that we find in the world, as much as we should be in this high corporate calling of the local church. And I guess one of the things that we need to think about from time to time is the measure of our loyalty one to the other. Now, the next thing it says is we are a holy temple. You know, in this tremendous tome of Kittle's Theological Dictionary, there are 10 pages of fine print on this word, naos. It's the Greek word for temple. And it's taught, or I remember being taught by my Greek professor, that this is the word in the Septuagint that's used for the Holy of Holies. In the New Testament, it's used of the temple in Jerusalem, where the Gentiles were not even able to come. I remember visiting a Muslim mosque in Israel, and I remember that there are limitations as to, you know, where the non-Muslim can move. We have temples, of course. It's almost distressing to think that we have a great Muslim temple in the D.C. area, and I'll never forget in traveling on that beltway around Washington, D.C., you come and you see this tremendous, it's beautiful, and yet at the same time, it's garish. You see that tremendous temple just soaring up above the beltway there, and of course, that's the great Mormon temple for the eastern part of the United States. We have a Buddhist temple within about 6 miles from where we're sitting this morning. What is the idea of all of these temples, wherever they might be, whether it's a pagan temple in India? The temple idea in the Bible and in pagan cultures, this is the place where God is. This is the place where contact is facilitated with God. We can reach beyond our material contact to God himself. In the Old Testament, the high priest went into the inner sanctum only once per year. And you and I have the privilege of being part of this temple of God, the place where God lives. And you know, I do believe that it's possible in the age of grace, as it's sometimes called. I'm not sure that's a good name, but that's what we call it. It's possible for us to move away from the awesome nature of who and what we are in the Lord. Can you imagine when you look in your own heart and see the trash sometimes in your own heart, and to consider the fact that God has made you and I the temple of God? And of course, in John 14:23, it says that God wants to make us his temple. He wants to settle down and live in us. And of course, in this passage, this is our corporate calling, and it's a corporate calling par excellence. You know, I'm astounded today. I'm astounded as I just am in the world. I'm astounded at the low level of life. I'm astounded at what normally goes on at parties and so on today. I'm astounded at what young people mean when they say, let's party. And it's amazing the gutter level that's going on in much of our country today. And what a tremendous privilege for those of us who are just as potentially filthy in our hearts, just as potentially low-living as anybody else, at least if you're not, I am, that God has given us the privilege of being called out to be the temple of God. What a corporate calling, par excellence. And sometimes when you go behind the doors of our great major corporations and you see the inter-office affairs and you see the high rate of alcoholism, and occasionally you see the deep depression that comes to men and women who are pushed too far, too fast, without the emotional reserves to handle it. A tremendous privilege for us to be, simple though we may be, to be called to the corporate calling, par excellence, of being the temple of God. Then, I would also like to just be reminded that a little wrinkle on one of these words, that we're called to be the dwelling place of God. The Oak Park River Forest area has always been fascinating. I don't know why. Back at the University of Illinois, I don't remember much from my university days, I can assure you, but I do remember the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright. And it's been interesting to drive through River Forest and Oak Park and to think, that house may have been designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and to see these houses. I remember being at a Methodist church in Oak Park, and the students of Frank Lloyd Wright designed that building. But can you imagine that you and I are part of a structure that has been designed by the master architect of the universe? You know, I'm still excited about that. I am still excited about it being a part of God's people. And I get less and less of a kick out of being with important, well-known people just for that kind of a sake, as I do the privilege of being with God's people, wherever they are. And I'm sure that many of you have had the experience, perhaps, of sitting down on a mud floor in another part of the world and having fellowship with God's people and feeling highly esteemed and honored about being in that company of people. We're part of the dwelling place of God. And by the way, that word, in case you're up on your Greek, I do this. This is a college church. Don't you have to use some big words in a college church? Don't you have to do that when you come and speak? You don't want to seem too dumb. And so anyway, the word that we have is kat. There's an intensifying preposition on this word here. And it's the household concept again, but now it's a more intensive form of the word where one can settle down and be at home. Just this week, I talked to one of my spiritual parents. I have two sets of spiritual parents. And interestingly enough, three of the four are home with the Lord. But I shall never forget those spiritual parents when I was a baby Christian, adopting me with a mother and a father kind of love. And I needed that. I love my own parents dearly. But God provided those as spiritual parents. And I shall never forget coming into their home and being at home. I knew I was loved at my worst. And there was a lot of bad times. And I knew that I could be at home because they loved me. And you know, it's a great thing. That's what God wants us to be in our corporate fellowship. He wants our corporate fellowships to be a place where God can be at home in all of our therapy. And by the way, I don't know much about Bethany Chapel, but I know that you are a frail fellowship, just like every other fellowship around the world. And if that doesn't fit you, one of the elders can rebuke me afterwards, and I will make a public apology if I ever come back again. Now, also I'd like to suggest that ours is the highest function as we are called into this corporate calling par excellence. And we want to turn for this key verse to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know, the pillar is one of the most basic architectural units in history. I guess you couldn't even have Greek architecture without a pillar, could you? Without pillars. And interestingly enough, it's used, I think, pillars in the church is a use in the New Testament. And then I think in Revelation 3:12, I think we have a use of the word. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and the New Jerusalem and so on. But we have this word that we are the pillar and ground. Now, a pillar, very simply, is used architecturally and structurally as a means of support, a basic means of support. Now, we, of course, have arches in this building. There are no pillars. In the older buildings, I guess we would have expected to have some kind of an arch support. But with the, I suppose that these are laminated wood beams, and that they provide. But we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are a pillar and ground of support. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'd like to suggest a couple of things that that means. The church is to display and support the truth of God. Let me ask you this. Where do you find ultimate truth? I'd like to suggest to you that some of our most brilliant professors that we have in the secular world are some of the most pitiful, mixed-up individuals you'll ever want to meet. And I do not say that with a feeling of hostility, but I have observed men with PhDs who in their personal lives are severely, and with respect to ultimate truth, are severely mixed up. And that, by the way, is the frailness of our humanity. And I would like to suggest to us today that if you want to find ultimate truth, you won't find it on the evening news. You probably won't find it in the sociology class of your local university. And I'd like to say as an aside here, I've had the privilege recently of meeting two delightful brothers of Christ in Christ who are sociology professors. But I shall never forget my experience in taking sociology at the University of Illinois. I was a new Christian, and I somehow will never forget that experience and how it drove me that there must be something more than what is understood in this class that I'm sitting through. What is the church to be a pillar and ground? What kind of a support? God's truth in the darkness of satanic deception and blindness is held up and supported by the body of Christ. God's plan is unfolding through the body of Christ. God's good news in a dying world. Now, moving on quickly, because I understand that Bethany Chapel is not like a good Baptist church where you don't close until 12:30, but more punctual. So I'm going to hasten on to point number two. The ultimate corporate commitment is demanded from those of us in the local church. I remember when we were doing some visiting once, speaking with an executive with I used to remember it as Continental Can. I saw a Continental Can factory burn once in East St. Louis. I believe it's the Continental Group. Is that right for you men in the business world? I believe it's more of a conglomerate now. And we were just sitting down in his living room chatting and talking together, and we were just discussing, he was talking about his relationship to his company and how he automatically understood that wherever his company sent him, that's where he moved. And there was no thought about, well, will this be a good place for my children? What about the schools and that sort of thing? Well, how far will it put us away from our families and so on? No, everything else had to fit in behind that priority of he went where his company moved him. And then during that time, we were talking about one of the men who'd been in Saudi Arabia. And he said, that his friend was there, stayed 5 years, an extra 5 years. Why? Well, his corporation sent him to an alien culture, and he was sort of on a compound in Saudi Arabia that you can't go mixing a lot in the culture out there very often. But it was the financial security and the commitment to that kept this man there in Saudi Arabia. Now, you and I have more than that, a deeper commitment in the body of Christ. You and I have an organic relationship in the body of Christ. Do you get the distinction? Financial security is very important. And in case those of you who are very spiritual say it isn't, try being out of work for about 8 months sometime. And you will find, all of us know who've been married and have had responsibility, or we've been out on our own. We've had to, as a single person, we're it. And if we don't bring in the paycheck, it doesn't come in. But you know, in the body of Christ, we have an organic relationship. You can change your corporation, but you can't change your body. You remember Barney Clark's, that heart plant? We all were just, we thought of this Dennis Courage as he fought with a new transplant and extended his life by a few weeks or a few months. But you know, in the body of Christ, there will never be needed an organ transplant to replace your me. Isn't that wonderful? You say, Brother Healy, I don't like you. I don't like your personality. I can understand that. But you know what? I'm still a part of the body of Christ. And I'll never need to be taken out of the body of Christ just because you don't like me. And you know what? If your boss doesn't like you in the corporation structure, that can be bad, can it? That can be dangerous. Now, this ultimate corporate commitment is intended or is permanent. We've all read about the Japanese corporations. They're designed to last a lifetime. We've all seen the film clips or read. And in our country, in the last 10 years, every church fellowship has been touched, I'm sure, with the problem of the disruption in the corporate in the corporate structures where men or women who've been there 20 years, and together we struggle through this, where all of a sudden it's gone. Have you experienced that? Being part of a corporation where all of a sudden you're gone after 10 or 20 years and your world, your financial world is shattered. Well, this can happen to any of us today in the present business climate. But thank God that our relationship in this highest of corporate relationships is permanent. We'll never be outside the body of Christ. I like that. I look out at all of us today, brothers and sisters in Christ, and just think, we're in this thing together. And by the way, in case we don't like each other now, isn't it beautiful when we get to heaven, we'll know how to like each other? You had a brother, I'm sure that every one of us in the local church fellowship, you've had somebody, you just don't like them. Don't like their personality. And, you know, you're able to say hello to them on Sunday morning, but you just don't like them. Don't like to be around them. Just a conflict of personalities. Well, I guess we've all had that experience. But isn't it wonderful that still and all, we're part of it. We're permanently related one to the other. Now, very quickly, and I'm just trying to find out which I want to chop out here. Just mention one quick thing, if we could. You know, the corporations are extremely important to our lives today. Probably not a single one of us here is driving a homemade car. I'll bet not a single person here is driving a car that was made by a corporation that grosses less than $500 million a year. We're dependent, for the electricity we use. There's no diesel generator out back. There's a huge corporation that's behind the power that is burning in our building this morning. It takes a corporation to own a hospital. And the corporations are really critical in our economic life here and around the world. But you know, the Bible says that the corporate productivity of the body of Christ is more important than the corporate productivity. And even though at times you may be very dissatisfied with Bethany Chapel and its productivity level, rest assured that the corporate productivity of Bethany Chapel is very, very important to the Lord and to those to whom we minister. Now, finally, in closing this morning, and then I want to close with an illustration. And by the way, if I'm the last one, I'll turn the lights off before I leave. Don't worry about that. But we will just one more point and an illustration. I'd like to suggest that the ultimate corporate conquest belongs to the body of Christ. Isn't it amazing the business techniques of the great corporations? Pepsi penetrates the world market. Coke calls from Khartoum to Calcutta. Honda conquers the U.S. small car market. There was a tourist. He bought a pipe on an Indian reservation. He saw the script on the pipe, and he asked the Indian chief to interpret. And the chief said, "Made in Hong Kong." All over, tremendous. Corporations are able to go to extreme lengths to market their products. And yet, do you know that you and I are called upon as being part of the body of Christ to market, quote-unquote, the gospel of Christ around the world? I had a thrilling experience a little over a year ago now, or something like that. I was going on an engagement into Wisconsin. And there was a woman there who shared her testimony. She was a very average teenage girl. But during that impressionable time of her life, she was challenged regarding Bible translation. And that woman had essentially thrown away her life in our country and had gone to a remote tribe as a single woman in the Philippines to translate the scriptures. And now she was coming back as having completed that translation. And by the way, that woman, the next Urbana conference, I think will be one of the major speakers. And the tremendous joy and excitement in this woman's life about having had the privilege of throwing her life away and investing it in a little-known tribe in the Philippines. And the product that we have, God has given us an irreversible commission to bring it to every person in the entire world. Now, there are times, and with this I close, there are times when most of us get sick of the local church. Disgruntled with the leadership, sometimes. Disgruntled with the way Christians treat you. Now when I need them the most, they don't seem to be there. Do you ever feel that way? I'm glad. This is a spiritual assembly here. If I could come again, you'll help me. But I sometimes get mad at my brothers and sisters in Christ. Why can't they treat me better? Well, you shouldn't have such a soft skin. Well, I know. And they, in turn, say, why can't you be a better Christian? Why can't you treat me better? And there are times when we say, is it all worthwhile just to really give of myself in the local church setting? I want to share something I enjoyed reading it very much. It's by Ruth Graham. One of the friends of the Graham family was the best shot in the sheriff's department. And I really, that made me do a double take, because I used to have to go out with the sheriff's department and take target practice, and I was the worst shot, including the women, with a pistol. I hate pistols. But he happened to be the best marksman. But just before this particular shoot-off, he'd gotten a pair of trifocal glasses. And when he would perspire, his glasses would fog up. And so he had fastened on the target, taken his position, and all of a sudden his glasses fogged up, and you only have a few seconds to squeeze off all those shots. And his glasses fogged up, and he only had a few seconds, and he remembered what his Navy instructor had taught him. And he said this. He says, if you ever lose sight of the target, just remember your position. Now, how does that apply to us? Sometimes we lose sight of the target. We say the local church is too much trouble. It's you don't get anything out of it. You put in a lot, you don't get anything out of it. And all the problems that we have. But remember, when our glasses fog up and we lose our vision and our vision gets blurred, we're to remember our position. That the Lord has called us to the highest corporate calling possible. And we are to hold on to that calling, however we may feel, however discouraged we may be. Ours is the highest corporate calling that a person can have. And it's my trust that everyone here, that as we go through the years of life and grow older, that God will hold us faithful to this corporate commitment all the days of our lives. Until then, we're with the Lord Himself and as a part of that great body, we will be on display before the created intelligences of the universe. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the corporate calling that You've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, there have been times in my own personal life when I felt so alone and so cut off and so lonely, and perhaps others of us the same from time to time. But Lord, we thank You for the corporate calling which You've given us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray that You'll help us to be faithful and consistent with our calling. And then, our Lord, we pray that You will give us a divinely given restlessness as we look out on restless, lonely, hurting people. Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's others, sometimes in three-piece business suits, and sometimes in rags along the street. Lord, give us a divine jealousy to take those with whom we come in contact and to put our arms around their shoulders and to introduce them to our living Savior and to see them share the corporate calling which we share here in this little group this morning. And Lord, we pray that as the Wheaton students come back this fall, we ask that from Bethany Chapel there will be the ability to help instill in each one of them a lifetime commitment to the high corporate calling of the body of Christ in its local expression. We thank you for this time of fellowship this morning and pray as we go this afternoon, Lord, give us fellowship with yourself this afternoon. Prepare us for this next week. We thank you for those who are just moving here to the area and pray that you'll bless them as they take up their responsibilities. We thank you for Dan and his wife and pray that you'll give unusual wisdom to both of them and make them a special blessing. We thank you for Dr. and Mrs. Hawthorne, and we pray as they travel in Latin America that you'll give refreshment and strengthening and bring them back prepared for the fall schedule. Pray for each one who's away today. Lord, give special protection and spiritual refreshment, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for our time together this morning in this corporate fellowship as being part of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.